We do have a full agenda today, so I'm hoping that time permits that we may have a few questions. If not, we'll take your questions afterwards. Okay. My name is John Westbrook, and I happen to be the current president of NARTEC, and I want to welcome all of the regular members of the executive committee that are online, as well as our visitors for this particular teleconference session. This is the first time that NARTEC has had such an open teleconference call with members of this type. The executive committee of NARTEC wanted to take this opportunity to provide a way to try and update you in the many areas that the executive committee has been working on since our last annual conference. For those of the folks that may not be able to be in this real-time session, we are creating an archive of this teleconference call, which will be available at the NARTC.org website. As you hear about what is currently being worked on by the various committees, you may decide that you would like to participate in a committee's work if you aren't already working in it. We would be delighted to welcome you into these committees, and we value your opinions and expertise and help. For those of you that may not know, I'd just like to review who is currently serving as 2010-2011 officers. Those persons are Kurt Johnson, Vice President, Jana Burke, Secretary, Nancy Arnold, Treasurer, Marianne Farkas serves as past president. Our 2010-2011 Executive Committee members at large are Paul Baker, Robin Jones, Suzanne Groh, Ivan Moulton, Andrew Houghtonville, and Sally Rogers. I want to personally thank all those people for their hard work so far in this year between our annual conference. So, saying that, I'm wondering, is Kurt online yet? All right, we're going to skip around a little bit. Maybe Kurt will get online. If not, we'll say a little bit about the annual conference. As you know, NARTEC has a strong root in disability and rehabilitation research. NARTEC's research committee has been working on some new opportunities of interest that I think many of you may be interested in knowing about and perhaps participating in. So saying that, Alex Lieben has been serving as chair of the NARTEC Research Committee. So I'll turn it over to you, Alex, to say a few words about what you've been working on.
Yes, absolutely. Just checking the quality. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Yep.
If you could speak up just a little, it's kind of low. Thanks.
I'll keep it closer. So the research committee efforts focused on two areas, working with the communication ad hoc committee to foster NARTEC-wide communication, and I believe the chair of the communication ad hoc committee, Paul Baker, will talk about this more, and supporting the NARTEC annual meeting. The letter included preparation of the best paper award, reviewing evaluation procedures. So I just would like to talk a little bit about this. The Best Paper Award is in its fourth year, and we are really happy that NARTEC is able to offer researchers this opportunity to showcase their work. The Best Paper Award will be presented at the annual meeting and conference, and we would hear about the conference in a moment. A call for submissions for the annual Best Paper Award is about to be put out as an email to all of the NARTEC members. And we had communicated with Joanne trying to make this as effective as possible. So So the email is most likely to be sent out early next week. There will be a link in the email message for the download of the Word document and the guidelines on how to submit the paper. And just to remind for those folks who were not participating last year, the submissions will be reviewed by the five committee members, executive committee members, using methodological guidelines. And the winner will receive a $500 honorarium. Finally, the research committee is sponsoring, if the submission is successful, the joint NARTEC Veteran Affairs Symposium at the interagency TBI conference next year in Washington, D.C. And I think I want to stay brief, so that's the main overview of our activities.
All right. Sounds good, Alex. Appreciate that. And we hope that we'll have a lot of participation in the best paper competition, as we have usually had in the past.
Yes, we're all ready. We charge.
Great. NARTEC many years ago established a training committee. And given new methodologies and demands, the name of the committee has been modified to the Knowledge Translation and Training Committee. Pam Mott, who many of you know, originally took over the chair position, but she has had some ongoing family health issues that have made doing this work very difficult. So we are extremely grateful to Madan Schladen, who has stepped up to help lead the committee in some of its deliberations about things to do. So saying that, I'll turn it over to Manon to tell us a little bit about what's been going on, what y'all have been considering.
Hi, John, everybody. Well, I wish I could tell you a little more about what's been going on, but as John indicated, we've gotten off to a slow start with different problems, and we're actually having our first meeting at noon tomorrow, 12:30 tomorrow. So hopefully there'll be a way to provide an update through the listserv. And we, too, are planning, like Alex's group, to have an award. And we have not quite yet determined exactly how that's going to work, but we'll be disseminating information as soon as we come to some consensus.
Okay. Sounds good. And I know that you've had a lot of thinking and planning to get to this point, so I want to thank you for that, Manon.
Yes, and we have a lot of enthusiasm. It's been very difficult at the end of the semester and before the holidays to actually get everybody together at the same time, but that's going to happen tomorrow.
Right. Very good. NARTEC as an association is able to continue its work through the membership and related dues of NIDR grantees. The timing for solicitation of membership, new and returning members, is fast approaching. Give us some information about this. I'll turn it over to Joanne Starks, who has been leading the work of the ad hoc committee, known that we refer to as the membership committee. So saying that, I'll turn it over to you, Joanne.
Okay, thank you, John. Yes, the membership committee is an ad hoc committee, and I'm the chair of the committee, and most of the time it seems like I'm the only member of the committee, so I would really like to encourage any of the members that are on the call, or even those that are not on the call, that would like to become involved. If you'd like to help out with the membership committee, we could certainly use some help. We currently have 65 members in NARTEC, which is a pretty good increase from past years. You know, NARTEC started out as the National Association of Rehabilitation Research and Training Centers, and at that time, only the RRTCs were members. At this point, we last year expanded to include all NIDR grantees as members. And as a result, we now have 18 RRTC members, 25 DRRP members, 9 DIBTACs, 5 FIP projects, 3 advanced rehab training projects, 2 RERC members, 1 SBIR, Small Business Innovation Research, and 1 contract. So I think our effort to expand our membership and to represent all the NIDA grantees through NARTEC is coming to fruition. And of course, we'd like to encourage more people to join. One of the things we've done in the past was try and offer a joint membership to provide some reduced dues when there's more than one project from an organization joining. And this has been a little problematic in that sometimes we'll get 2 or 3 projects coming in, and then a few months later, another project will decide to join or a new project gets funded. And it's been very difficult to go back and figure out, well, how do we prorate these dues? So we are working on a new dues fee structure that will still encourage groups of grantees that are at an institution to join together and get a reduction in the dues. So that's something that our membership committee would like to work on and get through the executive committee and then share with the grantees so that this coming year we'll have a new and easier way for people to pay their dues and get a reduction by going in with more than one project that's funded by NIDA at an organization. So I think that's most of what I have to cover. If anyone has any questions, of course, I'll be glad to try and answer them.
When do you think folks might be getting something about membership? And
I think it will come out in January, as early in January as we can. Once we get our, we have to get our final decision on the due structure, and then we'll be able to get the letters out to people. And usually people get a letter and then a notice of dues, which would indicate how much the dues are, and then we'll also have information about the group membership with a reduction if the projects can get together and join at the same time.
Okay, sounds great, Joanne. Thanks for all that hard work. NARTEC stays active and contributive based upon its membership. And those people that take on added responsibility by serving as officers or executive committee participants. NARTEC does have a nominating committee, and it is working to identify some new and interested people that may be able to serve in some of these capacities. So to tell us more about that, I'll turn it over to the chair of the nominating committee, Mary Ann Farkas. Mary Ann? Are you there, Mary Ann?
Mary Ann, are you on mute by any chance?
Round 6.
I know she's in her office on her phone, so this is Sally. I'm just going to go and check.
We heard her earlier, so.
I'll just go and check.
Okay, thanks. While we're waiting on Mary Ann, maybe we'll move ahead. We have another committee known as the Awards Committee. And the Awards Committee is one that has been around for quite a while. It is an ad hoc committee. I've been doing some work with the Awards Committee, and I'm delighted now that we've had a new person step forward in the form of Robin Jones that will be taking over some of those responsibilities. Traditionally, NARTEC has presented several awards known as the Distinguished Service Award, Special Contribution Award, and Commendations. So those are provided through nominations from membership. So I'll turn it over to Robin to say a few things about what you might be looking forward to in terms of nominating people. Robin? Oh, my goodness. I thought Robin was online.
John, Mary Ann's back on, just so you know.
Okay. Well, just let me say that the awards committee will be presenting to all membership several different forms that you can use to make nominations and provide some supporting documentations for individuals that you think should be recognized by NARTAC. So that should probably be coming out to folks in January or early February at the latest. Okay? So, saying that, let's return to the nominating committee. We do have a nominating committee, and that nominating committee is chaired by Mary Ann Farkas. And so I'll turn it over to Mary Ann to talk about some of that work and what she's going to be looking for and maybe soliciting people on the call to help her with. Mary Ann?
I have no idea what's going on here, John, but I just went and unmuted Mary Ann's phone. Let me check again. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I have a screen here that shows her phone is muted, so.
Star 6, Mary Ann. Star 6.
Oh, star 6, mute.
Pound 6.
Pound 6.
Six.
Pound 6, Mary Ann.
Yeah.
Now can you hear me?
Now we can hear you.
Yay. So I've been pushing star 6 for the last 10 minutes. I couldn't get it get off mute. Thank you for the instruction, and thank you, everyone. I'm sorry about my mechanically challenged brain here. Yes, I'm the chair of the nominating committee, and with me on the nominating committee is Joanne Starks, Robin Jones, and Alex Libin. And we have the delightful task of soliciting members to join us on the executive committee, and the kind of posts that are available for this coming term are, first of all, the president-elect. And the president-elect serves as president-elect for 1 year before they come into office as president so that they can get some experience with the position and what it entails. The other positions that are available are vice president and conference chair, which is a 1 year appointment and focuses exclusively, or mostly rather, on organizing and managing the conference in May. And the third category of position is member at large. And the member at large position is just someone who is willing to serve, does not have a specific task or duty when they are elected, but if there is an ad hoc committee or a need for a particular committee to get a task done, the president can appoint someone, including a member at large, to perform that task. And this year we'll be looking for two members at large. So president-elect, vice president, conference chair, and two members at large are the positions to be filled. I will be sending out a nominating form to the membership, and I expect that we will send that out sometime in January, and hope that people in the membership submit some names of people or themselves who might like to be nominated for these positions. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mary Ann.
Everybody else. Yeah.
Very good. NARTAC also, being a professional association, also has bylaws. And those bylaws are things that we look at periodically. Sometimes we decide we need to make changes, et cetera. So, Sally Rogers has been serving as the chair of our bylaws committee, and so I'll turn it over to Sally to talk about some of the things that have been thought about and maybe some changes that may be in store. Sally?
Okay, thanks, John. The bylaws changes that are on the table for discussion really came out of us taking a look at the existing bylaws and seeing that we have numerous committees mentioned in the bylaws, and the bylaws actually mention how many people should be on, or they state how many people should be on each committee. And we realized that we were often not really in compliance with the bylaws because we just didn't have enough volunteers. So I'll put in a plug for additional volunteers as part of this discussion, and just let you know that we are making some suggestions that the bylaws change to have a lower and more flexible number for each of the committees. So, for example, the nominating committee. I think the nominating committee in the current bylaws is supposed to have something like 7 or 9 individuals representing the membership. We decided to change that to at least 3 members, so that if we want to go higher than that, because there are more volunteers, we can do that. But if we're unable to populate the committees with enough members, then we won't be in violation of the bylaws. So right now on the table, there are proposals for changing the bylaws so that the nominating committee, the legislative committee, bylaws committee, research, training, and program committees all will be changed to read, shall consist of at least 3 members, including the chairperson, who are members in good standing of the organization. What's going to happen next, as I understand it, is that the executive committee will vote on this language, and then it'll go out to the total membership for approval. I think there'll be a notice 1 month before the annual meeting, and then there'll be a vote taken at the annual meeting, and then the bylaw change will then take effect. The other bylaw change that was on the table had to do with how the president and the treasurer interact to pay the association bills and obligations. And given that they're not in the same physical location, Nancy being in Montana and John being in Texas, those are actually not too far away, but it makes it very difficult to get things paid. And so the bylaws were written in a time when, you know, it was mostly checks that were written and countersigned, and so we decided to update the language that's in the bylaws that allows and to allow the treasurer more flexibility. So she'll have the authority to apply for and maintain a credit card in the association's name, to pay for duly approved expenses for the annual meeting or other expenses for the operation of the association. She'll also have the authority to pay expenses via electronic funds transfer, check, or credit card, as long as those expenses have been duly approved by the president. And we are saying now that an email approval from the president can constitute. So a second signature or approval is required for expenses. A second signature is not required, but an approval by the president is required. And so that's the other bylaw change that's on the table. We will again be voting on as an executive committee, and then we'll be putting it out to the membership.
Very good, Sally.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. As I think Mary Ann mentioned, it is possible for the president of NARTEC to create an ad hoc committee. I recently exercised that ability and created an ad hoc committee on communications. The goal of that committee has been to focus on how NARTEC might maximize its communications with membership and folks that may be potential members of NARTEC. Paul Baker has stepped forward to lead the planning that's been going on in that group. And I know that they've been doing some substantial work, and I've read some of the things that you've been doing, Paul. It's very exciting. Would you describe some of the things that you've been talking and thinking about in the Communications Committee?
Thank you, John. As you know, no good deed goes unpunished, so we are seeking volunteers. we are particularly looking – well, let me start again. Given the small size of NARTEC, we are a volunteer organization, so most of anything we do is done by people who step up and take a lead. The Communications Committee, 4 of us right now, have met and in looking and thinking about the way in which NARTEC presents itself. In this case, it's primarily the website is our main face, both to members and inwardly and outwardly to other people. We've looked through the website and we've made some comments in terms of things that we think would be helpful to increase the reach and awareness of the website. Some of it simply has to do with perhaps a little bit more elaboration or explanation of things we've done. Others are areas in which we are looking into expanding. So I would like to ask for people who are interested in volunteering in aspects of communication. In this case, we would welcome people who take a fresh look at the website, maybe walk through it, and let us know things that you think would be useful either to expand or need more clarity, because the more eyes we have on things, the better it is, in a sense of crowdsourcing. In any case, so we particularly are looking for people who have either knowledge translation or a training expertise, since the committee pretty seriously is represented by researchers, and we like to get the full range of activities and orientations possible with NARTEC. We are planning on meeting once a week to kind of keep, once a week is a little bit much, once a month to continue our work of keeping track of website changes and trying to get a sense of things that we can do that would be of most use. So what I'd like to personally request is that I can be contacted via email. My email is on the NARTEC website under the Executive Committee. But if you have ideas you would like to see, areas that you think could be improved, or you just wish to help us, because, again, the more hands we have doing communication, the stronger the committee would be. Pretty much in short, that's it. Any further things, I'm more than willing to respond to via email if that's convenient. That's it, John.
Okay, great, Paul. Thank you for that work. Unless Kurt Johnson is on the line, we'll join, but I guess it was not Kurt. I would suggest, in terms of the upcoming NARTEC annual conference, which is one of our major events, for information about it, maybe one of the best places for you to go would be www.nartc.org, the NARTEC website. On the left-hand column, you'll find a navigation bar, and if you select annual conference, it will let you know that the upcoming 2011 annual conference is scheduled for April 27th and 28th. It will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Bethesda, Maryland. The agenda for the meeting is not quite ready, but when it is ready, it will appear right on that page. We are at this point soliciting presenters for the conference. So we would like any individual that is a NIDR grantee to that you can suggest a presentation. So you do not have to be a NARTEC member to present at the NARTEC annual conference. You will find links on the website that will help you submit a proposal for a presentation to make reservations at the hotel as well. So we think it's a fairly helpful web page in terms of things related to the annual conference. Okay. And we do thank Kurt Johnson for all of his hard work in planning the meeting. NARTEC has an ongoing legislative committee that's been focused on events and circumstances that affect disability and rehab research, training, knowledge translation, and many other areas. Andrew Houghtonville has been leading this committee, and so I'm going to turn it over to Andrew to discuss about what the committee's been doing, and I think he will introduce Bobby Silverstein. So saying that, I'll turn it over to you, Andrew.
Okay, thank you, John. Just to give you a little bit of background, NARTEC has had a legislative committee as far back as, I believe, the beginning of NARTEC back in the early 80s. And early on, it was a little bit more structured towards direct action, in the sense that there was a day or a half a day where NARTEC members at the annual conference, at the annual meetings, actually took the walk from the Holiday Inn Capitol, which the meetings were always at, over to the congressional buildings, and actually went and talked with congressmen. There were trainings on how to approach your congressional delegation, and it was very much hands-on type of legislative agenda that NARTEC was leading at that time. Over the more recent years, NARTEC's legislative agenda has been probably better described as behind-the-scenes information gathering, reconnaissance, and trying to get a good sense of the legislative initiatives that would impact NIDER grantees and how to, if necessary, intervene or get our voices heard within those behind-the-scenes dialogues. Wayne Gordon, for many years, led the legislative committee very ably and really had his finger on the pulse of the things that were going on behind the scenes that had great impact. For instance, the ongoing effort to reauthorize the Rehab Act, what's the sections of WIA related to the Rehab Act. That's kind of the legislative history. The committee has usually been a person of one. I've had some volunteers. Paul Baker has also volunteered to be on the legislative committee. However, the legislative committee hasn't really been active, in part because a lot of the behind-the-scenes things that was traditionally that Wayne really kept a handle of are being ably done with the assistance of Bobby Silverstein PPSV, Piles, Power, Verville, and Associates, and I'll talk a little bit more about them later. In terms of upcoming activities with the Legislative Committee, one of the things, instead of thinking about, I'm not going to call for volunteers, because I think we still have a little bit more work to do to figure out, besides the direct, we've had discussions of going back to the more direct action. There was a lot of effort at one point put in, I think around 2003, 2004, put in to create a legislative briefing. Sally, I think you were president at that point, and Dennis Moore was heavily involved in an effort to reach out the congressional district. It was a lot of work, and the payoff wasn't immediately apparent. I think what we need to do is to better understand how NARTEC's legislative committee can benefit the membership. I think we're now getting a lot of really great services from PPSV, and so how to parlay that and also how to better help NIDER grantees, NARTEC members. So what I may end up doing is sending out an email request for information about kind of how the members think that NARTEC could be more active in terms of the legislative agenda at the federal level, at least. And I've also thought about asking, how have you interacted with your congressional delegation? To maybe get some tips, and maybe we can do some kind of sharing, information sharing. Maybe there could be sometime a spot at the annual conference to talk about how have you interacted with your congressional delegation, and also one thing that I'm personally interested in is how have you used the legislative office within your organization to reach out. We have at UNH and many universities have them a specific group. We have our own consulting firm that the university hires to reach out to legislative delegations, but also to funding agencies and try to broker relationships with funding agencies. And, we just hired a new firm, and I'm always kind of thinking, how can I bet? I know they ask for ideas of how UNH can use that contract. And I just was wondering, because I know that some people have in the past, I've heard anecdotally, that people use their university legislative affairs group, and that they also directly interact with their delegation. I know that we've had some earmarks come our way through our congressional delegation directly related to disability services and research. So I may just send out an email inquiry to kind of get some stories about how people use interact with their congressional delegation and also use their organization's legislative affairs group, for lack of a better term. So that's kind of most of what I wanted to say about the legislative committee. The only announcement that I would really have is that, and Bobby, I'll probably steal a little bit of what you might be have wanted to say, is that we've actually had quite a good win for NIDER and for NIDER grantees, and I think for people with disabilities as a whole. Andy Imperato, who is the longtime president and CEO of the American Association with Disabilities, has taken a position within the Senate, and he's going to be a key staffer, I believe, of Senator Harkin's. In particular, he's going to be the key staffer on disability employment policy, disability policy more generally, as part of and Bobby can describe these things much better than I can, as part of the Senate Health Committee, the Health, Education, Labor, Policy Committee. And so Bobby will give you the real names. I know the acronym. I don't necessarily know the name. But Andy's now in a key position. And Andy was had presented many times at NARTEC. I don't know if he's received awards, but we should think about him as an award person.
Has he received an award?
I think he has, yeah. And he's a longtime contributor to some RTCs I've been involved with, and I know a number of us have used him on advisory committees or have participated in research projects with him and his membership when he was at AAPD. So that's really good news, and I think that's about all I wanted to say. I do have the pleasure of introducing the next speaker, so Bobby Silverstein, a former NIDER grantee and now a member of Pile Powers Verville. Oh, I got it wrong. PPSV. Verville and Associates. Yeah.
Powers, Piles, Sutter, and Verville.
The S always gets me. And so Bobby has been... he will tell you about an organization that's really starting to come into its own, the DRRC.
Yeah.
You'll get it right, Bobby. So that group is really working very well, and as legislative committee chair, I find it quite a bit of work just to keep up with all the work that Bobby's doing and that the DRRC is doing. DRRC with a C, right, Bobby?
DRRC, yes.
DRRC. So I'll just turn it over to Bobby, and Bobby, go ahead and take it away.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. Thanks for the opportunity to share some of the things that's been going on. Andy Imperato did, in fact, start with Senator Harkin as chair of the Health Committee, which is Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions.
That's it.
He is the Disability Policy Director at the committee. A major coup for folks with disabilities. This is a very strong signal from Senator Harkin that he expects to make disability policy a focus of his chairmanship. Andy has not only been part of RTCs, but as AAPD director or CEO, he has been a core member of the DRRC, the Disability Rehabilitation Research Coalition, that is made up of 30 national organizations, ranging from consumer organizations to NARTEC to things like ACRM, Amputee Coalition, others. That group has a monthly meeting, conference call, I'm sorry. Anybody on this call is more than invited to participate in that conference call. It is anybody who's interested in getting the date and time, I'll get that to John, and he will get that out to everybody. So just feel free to put it on your calendar and participate in that call. In terms of NITER specifically, let's start with funding. You've heard a lot of what's going on in Washington. The answer is, if I knew exactly what was happening, I would be paid a whole lot more bucks than I'm otherwise getting. Nobody knows right now if we're going to have a short-term continuing resolution to keep the appropriations going, a long-term continuing resolution, an omnibus appropriations bill that funds all of the various departments and agencies. As of yesterday, there was a draft Senate omnibus bill, and with respect to the OSER's Office of Special Education Rehabilitation Services, they have big numbers, but they did not have breakdowns down to the specific IDEA or parts of IDEA or NIDA. They just had a big one number, so not really possible to figure out with certainty how NIDER fared.
So big in terms of bigger than last year's, or?
big in terms of, meaning, in other words, what I meant is we don't know if it's going to go on for, right now the continuing resolution expires in a couple of days. We don't know if it's going to be for another 2 months, if it will be a continuing resolution for the rest of the year, if it will be a new omnibus appropriations bill. There was a small couple $1 million increase for NIDER in the Senate bill. House did not have a bill, and I wouldn't be surprised if we had last year's number or something in between. I think the chance of getting the Senate number is probably, that's just a hypothesis on my part. Funding, obviously, from everything you hear is going to be incredibly difficult to come in terms of for next year, and we're going to have to really work very hard to maintain funding and get any kinds of increases. The second issue is with respect to the director. The Rehab Act, Secretary of Education is responsible for appointing a director of NIDER, so it is a political position. When Alexis Posey became Assistant Secretary for OSERS, she basically told the community that there would not be a political appointee, rather there would be an acting director, and for some time it was Lene Rutledge, the RSA Commissioner, and most recently Sue Swenson, who is the OSERS Deputy Assistant Secretary, has been acting. The career person, David Esquith, has been appointed as the Deputy NIDER Director. Behind the scenes, we have been doing extensive lobbying to try to get a permanent full-time political appointee to up the stature and leadership at NIDER. Most recently, those efforts have gone through Senator Harkin's office, both his appropriations and authorizing staffers, and they have very recently basically got a commitment that they will, in fact, have a permanent political appointee. Now, the problem has always been the when, not if, but initially it was if and it was a no. Now the if has been resolved, and we're back to the question of when. If there's anybody on this call that has any suggestions whatsoever, Senator Harkin's office is looking for suggestions to forward to the department in terms of trying to find that permanent political director. Back to reauthorization, the NARTEC and DRRC submitted comprehensive, extensive recommendations for the reauthorization of the research title of the Rehab Act. We have tried on numerous occasions to have ongoing conversations. Unfortunately, at this point, to no avail. And basically what we've heard is the Dems and Republicans are quietly negotiating with themselves and not sharing language. So I cannot tell you whether the recommendations that we put forward, what the status is, but there is a chance that there will be a bill dropped in when the lame duck session is completed to be a placeholder for discussions for next year. So there is, again, a possibility a bill may be introduced in the next 2 days, week, depending on how long the lame duck session continues. In terms of the long-range plan, my understanding from discussions internally is that they are beginning the process of actually turning to the long-range plan, which, as many of you know, there hasn't been one for, I don't know, Andrew, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, more than that if you discount the last one.
So there was a proposed long-range plan. There were 102 comments, I believe. 101 opposed the approach that was being taken, and the other one did not address the major issues. So there was basically unanimous opposition to the draft long-range plan put forth under the Bush administration. So the hope is that they will again start from scratch, and whether and hopefully also they will put it out again in proposed form so that folks do have an opportunity to comment. There was a brief earmarks. You folks have probably been reading the same newspapers I have, and we've been hearing even more that there is a very significant question as to what the status of earmarks is going to be next year. So what that means is the likelihood of directing money to a particular agency or department or university may be curtailed dramatically. But so that means that a new strategy will be put in place, which is that the committee report language will more likely say that you should be focusing on a topic or a subject matter, and you'll probably see a incredible growth in that kind of committee language. Rather than direct to a entity, it will direct a topic area. So we probably need to talk about that, Andrew, at our next meeting, because that's my guess as to what's going to happen next time. Next time meaning the next appropriations cycle. In terms of the ICDR, Interagency Committee on Disability Research, the Senate report language, with the help of NARTEC and DRRC, the report language, at our suggestion, directed the Obama administration to develop a comprehensive government-wide strategic plan for disability and rehabilitation research. And the report actually calls for the report by next spring, which is probably not possible. We had a meeting with the acting director of NIDA, Sue Swenson. NARTEC folks participated, and we had a lengthy two-hour conversation about direction and how we could proceed. It was pretty much a positive conversation, although there was certain degree of reluctance on some NIDA staff as to say the infrastructure really doesn't exist to make this happen. We say that it is incredibly important that it does happen, that we cut across agencies and make sure that that stature and leadership and visibility and importance of disability and rehabilitation research be enhanced. For those of you involved in healthcare-related issues, it is exciting to know that HHS, I think just yesterday, released their strategic plan on chronic conditions. And the original draft had no reference to folks with disabilities or the kind of folks that we involve. When they talked about chronic conditions, they were talking about medical conditions, like diabetes. And we got them to include the notion of folks who have impairments in terms of related to functioning on a long-term basis, and also a lot more reference, and I don't know if you're aware of this, to folks with mental illness, specifically identified. And for anybody who's interested in getting a copy of the final long-range plan, we at DRRC will probably be writing a memo highlighting the major changes and having a link to it. And John, you get that, and Andrew gets it, so please share that with other folks. With respect to CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the Center for Birth Defects has contacted us and asked if anybody is interested in providing kind of informal advice or recommendations on their draft strategic plan. Anybody on this call who would like to participate in that review process, we have a conference call set up, I think either next week or shortly. But again, I will get that information to John, and you can get back to me, or you can call me or email me directly, Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, .Silverstein, S-I-L, V-E-R-S-T-E-I-N at P-T-S-V.com. And I think that's about it.
Thank you very much, Andrew and Bobby. That's a lot of information, and we really appreciate it. We do have a few minutes left, so I'm wondering if there are questions folks might have that you'd like to raise at this point. Any questions? Don't be shy. Go ahead.
Bobby, this is Andrew. Can you talk a little bit more about DRRC and some of the things that it's done, you know, the conversations that it's had, particularly around the NIDA director?
When the presidential election is going full steam, we sent after comprehensive drafts and redrafts and redrafts to the DRRC members, including NARTEC, to set out a comprehensive white paper on disability rehabilitation research. And one of the sections focused on NIDA directly. And basically, the consensus of the DRRC was as follows. The NIDA is buried within the Department of Education. You look at the department's strategic plan, you have a half a sentence on NIDA. It's just like it's not there. You look at press releases, you look at the secretary's speeches, you look at what's going on, it's just not there. And then with the new administration, we went to Alexa Posney immediately and said, listen, and this is also what's in the white paper. You all have to tell us, you being the Department of Education, do you embrace NIDA as the flagship agency in the federal government for disability and rehabilitation research? And do you embrace the broad responsibilities of the agency? That includes employment, community participation, health and function, demographics, and assistive technology. Do you embrace that broad portfolio? And if so, it's fine for the NIDA to stay here, but we want you to embrace it, and not only in words, but in deeds. And Alexa Posney said, absolutely, we embrace it. We set out a 6-7-point agenda as a demonstration of their support. Then we had Lene Rutledge from RSA, who has no research experience, appointed. We said, what's going on? Then they appointed Sue Swenson, who's an incredible visionary person, but again, with no research expertise. We have seen, at this point, no progress in the long-range plan, no feedback in terms of our recommendations for reauthorization. So it's a kind of mixed bag in terms of the deeds rather than the words. But at this point, DRRC has not made a subsequent recommendation to either move NIDA or to just kind of get employment stuff and community participation at the Department of Education and move some of the health and function, maybe the demographic issues, but no decision, no further conversation has been held with respect to that issue. With respect to ICDR, there was a question of whether the NIDA director should be the permanent chair of ICDR or whether there should be a rotation, given that so much of what's going on in disability and rehabilitation research is actually under the jurisdiction of HHS, including NIH, CDC, APSE, Assistant Secretary for Planning Evaluation, and some of the new stuff going on healthcare reform. So that's kind of what we've been talking about. Andrew, is that what you meant by additional comments?
Yeah, and the only other thing that I would add is that in the process leading up to, well, the continuing process of, with regard to the NIDA director, is that some individuals have put their name forward, and it seems like the DRRC is becoming kind of the New Hampshire primary for people who are interested in the NIDA director's position, which actually I think is a nice forum. DRRC does not put its stamp of approval on anybody, but
exactly. All we do is forward anybody who expresses interest.
Right, and they actually, it was pretty neat. It was kind of like a primary. So I highly recommend, you know, the monthly conference call with the DRRC is actually a very, very useful forum just to hear what's going on. You don't even have to talk, you know. As you're doing your email or something else, turning on the conference call and listening. Because we also get these kinds of calls to participate in strategic planning. And anybody on that are members of NARTEC are welcome to participate in these kinds of things.
And then Andrew, the other thing that we do also is we have guest speakers. So we have had the new disability and health information officer at CDC twice, and once to spend an hour and a half with us brainstorming on what should be in their CDC strategic plan for disability. We've had the Sue Swenson invited. In the future, we will have folks from NIH, et cetera.
Yeah, and so I highly recommend people get involved. And I like the fact that Bobby's out there doing a lot of the work, and there's really no big commitment other than for us to pay attention and to provide input when needed. And so it really is a good service that you get in terms of what you get by being members of NARTEC. Years ago, we were always questioning, you know, we had a relationship with PPSV. They would do the things that we asked, but we couldn't really keep up with it. The committee structure, and we're all really quite busy. But by joining together individuals under the DRRC, we're all leveraging our funding and support for PPSV, and it has really led to having Bobby be very much out in the front. He may not know exactly what's happening with the budget, but he knows more than most of us.
He's likely to know. I want to thank again Andrew and Bobby for that information. And just let me say that I hope that the members that have been on this line, that you have been able to see that the executive committee and officers have been doing some work related to NARTEC, and hopefully this may be of interest to you. If you have any questions, feel free to email me, and I would be happy to also hear about what you thought about this teleconference. If you'd like to continue to hear more about what's going on in terms of the executive committee work and so forth. Our goal was for this to be a meeting of about an hour, and I'm glad that we are just about there, a little bit over. But saying that, I will call this meeting to adjournment. And again, thank you for participating, and happy holidays to everybody.
Thanks. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.